Today's scripture is from Matthew 2, 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
So one of the very first lessons that I learned when I started surfing, I learned on a big day. It was a big lesson, and I learned it on a big day. A big day out on the waves, you may know this, is a day where the waves are at least 6 foot high, maybe 7 or 8, and they come in a rapid succession, lots of waves. And when that is happening, it's kind of tough to get out there. You have to paddle out over the waves that are incoming, right? And you keep going out, and you go out until you get far enough out, you can pick a wave to ride in on. Well, on this day, I went out, and I'm paddling, and I go over the first one. And the thing is, when you're paddling on your stomach, you can't really see over the crest of the wave that you're going over, right? So I go over the first one, then I come up, I'm going over the second one. And as I crest that second incoming wave, I see that there is another wave coming, and it's a big one, and it is breaking, and it's going to break right on me if I don't make a quick decision. Now, there's really only two decisions you can make in a situation like that. One is you can respond with fear, which means you stay right in place, and you get hammered by that wave, and it's not a good thing. I mean, it drives you down, and your board goes the other way, and it's just not a pleasant happening. The other decision is to react with faith. And for me, at that point in my surfing career, it took a lot of faith, because what it means is you got to turn around as fast as you can, paddle as hard as you can, and pick up that wave and ride it in wherever it goes. It's risky. It means you might get wiped out. It means you can't handle it. It might mean that you just can't really get a hold of it in time, and it's going to crush you. It's a risk. But it could also turn out to be the best ride you ever had, which on this day is what happened to me. I got up on that thing, and I took it in, and man, I rode it all the way to the shore, and I stepped off my board and went right to my car. Because I said, man, that was good. And I'm done. Done for the day. Well, you know, you don't have to be a surfer to know we make those kinds of decisions in life every single day. You know, we're going to go with fear, we're going to go with faith. Are we going to go with faith, or are we going to go with fear in our walk with Christ, you know? Because it takes a little bit of gumption, you know, to follow Jesus. To follow him. To follow his light wherever it goes. Because sometimes it's a little risky. It means we might have to change the way we do things. And I think that that's a lot of what's happening in this passage that we hear today, at least one aspect of it. We have faith and we have fear. We have fear in the person of Herod, and we have faith in the person of the Magi from the East. Now, these Magi from the East are really mysterious figures. You know, we don't know a whole lot about them. We know that the Bible only says that they're from the East. Now, the historian Herodotus says that there were Magi, people called Magi, who were sort of astrologer/priests that were working and that did exist in the Persian Empire, which is to the east. Now, their job was to search the skies. Their job was to search the skies and read the signs there in the stars, to kind of figure out by the movement of the planets and the stars the movement of history, what's going to happen next. One of their big jobs was to look in the skies and look for the signs of different celestial, you know, phenomenon and figure out who would be the best kings to rise up to a point in the Persian Empire. So they were kind of kingmakers. For instance, they correlated a certain stellar, you know, phenomenon with the rise of Alexander the Great. So this was kind of their deal, to search the skies and look for portents of kings. So they were super interested when they saw this new star appear in the west. And they correlated it with prophecies that they knew, for instance, from the prophet Micah, that said a star would arise in Jacob, in Israel, and would rise up and be a portent of a Messiah who would come, a great king, a king for all people. So this was a huge deal to these Magi. And it was big enough that they wanted to go and see what this was all about. They would take this journey to see what this king was all about. And it was quite a journey. Now, when we see our Christmas cards and we see the three, you know, Magi up on their camels and they're just cruising across the desert and it's awesome and the stars are out and everything is peaceful, that's probably not what it was like. This was a journey of 1,000 miles. It would take well over a month to accomplish. So you're talking about three Magi, sure, but you're also talking about beasts of burden to carry all their supplies for that kind of journey. You're talking about people to feed and take care of those beasts. You're talking about people to cook for the Magi. I mean, you know, Magi aren't going to whip up, you know, top ramen for themselves. So we got cooks, you know, we got people to put up the tents and take down the tents for the Magi. You've got this whole entourage. And besides that, you've got also people who are protecting them, warriors who are riding with them. Because out there on the desert, no matter how peaceful it looks, there's bandits out there. There are people who'd love to get their hands on three Magi. So it's a big deal. And it's this entourage, really, that comes riding after a month or so into Jerusalem. It's an expedition. And they are seeking this king of enormous importance and promise. And they ride into Jerusalem, and they go right into the palace, and then right into the court of another king, this king, who's a king of great paranoia and brutality and ruthlessness. And that's King Herod, who called himself the Great. Now, King Herod was himself in a kind of precarious position. He was appointed to this position as king over this little area in Judea, this little area of the Roman Empire. I think I said on Christmas Eve that this little part of the Roman Empire was like dryer lint to the rest of the Roman Empire. And that's where Herod was stationed. And he had one job. His job was to make sure that those pesky Jewish people didn't have an uprising, just to sit on them hard. So he had no love from the people over whom he ruled. And at the same time, he wasn't all that respected by the people who put him in power. So he held on with great ruthlessness to what little power he had. He had 9 wives. One of them he had tried and executed for adultery, and then he killed her mother. He began to become suspicious of his young sons, so he had them executed. Later on, he became a little bit leery of his eldest son, so he had him executed too. Caesar Augustus is actually recorded as saying he would rather be Herod's dog than one of his sons. So you see, Herod, even though he might say, well, look, I have power and I'm using my power to hold on to my power, and that's wise in the world. That's a wise thing to do in some parts of the world, isn't it? Even though he says he might say that, it's closer to the truth, I think, to see that he was ruling over others with fear, and he himself was ruled by fear. And it's with that kind of fear that he welcomes those magi into his court to have this little discussion about a sign that they've seen in the heavens and this message that says a Messiah is being born, a great king of the Jews. Now that had to make Herod step back a little bit because, you know, after all, he thinks he's the king of the Jews. But they have this discussion, and you know, two groups of people couldn't look at the same message and the same sign in more different ways. Herod looks at that sign and that message, and he sees it through a veil of fear. Fear of losing his power, losing his position, losing his privilege, losing the way he does life. The Magi, on the other hand, are looking at that sign and they're looking at that message, and all they want to do is follow that sign, follow that light wherever it goes, no matter what it means to their lives and the history and the lives of the world. Herod looks at that full of fear, and this is important. Fear always restricts. Fear always lashes out. Fear is oftentimes just the kernel of a type of wisdom of the world that says, hang on to everything that you've got. Fear always shuts down the movement of the Holy Spirit. But the Magi, they're looking at it from a perspective of faith. They're willing to follow that light wherever it goes because they're led by that Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit always leads to an understanding of God's wisdom in the world, the way God operates. And that's as true for the Magi as it is for us. When we follow the Holy Spirit, when we follow that light of Jesus wherever it goes, well, we begin to discover and see the world the way God sees it, to see the world with God's wisdom. We see God's wisdom in nature all around us. Psalm 104 says, how great are your works, O God, in your wisdom you made them all. Now we know, we can see around us that the natural world is sometimes messed up, it's sometimes corrupted by sin like everything else. We can also see the intricacy and the harmony of the universe and the world and know that that is God speaking to us. That is God's wisdom in the natural world. When we follow the Holy Spirit, when we follow that light wherever it goes, we begin to understand God's working in our own lives, His wisdom working in our own lives, to understand the truth of what Paul says, that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Well, that great purpose is that following of Jesus, that light, wherever it goes. When we really follow, we begin to understand and see that no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter what we're experiencing, God is using those things in His wisdom to draw us closer to Him. And conform us to make us, each one of us inside, conform to the image of Christ. That's the wisdom of God in our individual lives.
As we follow that light, as we follow that Holy Spirit, we begin to understand the wisdom of God's salvation for us and His salvation plan. That plan that takes the cross, which to the world and certainly to Herod would be nothing but a sign of death and of shame and of rejection. And He turned that cross for us into a sign of power and of glory and of forgiveness and of eternal life. How cool is that? Yeah? That's the wisdom of God. It's foolishness to the world, but it's wisdom to those who follow Christ and are following that light wherever it goes. So Herod, yeah, man, he's there and he is following his fear. And his fear will lead to death. Not only his own pitiful death, but the death of untold numbers, right? Remember the story? Untold numbers of little baby boys that he slaughters in a desperate attempt to snuff out the light of Jesus. On the other hand, those magi, they're following that light wherever it goes. And they follow it right to where Jesus is. And they bend their knee in worship to Jesus. And they begin to receive that wisdom to see the world the way God sees it, to see the world by God's wisdom. And they're given a new life. They're given a new way to go home, a new way to go. And isn't that what we're all looking for today on New Year's Day? A new way to go? Did y'all make resolutions last night? A lot of people made resolutions last night. You know what the top four are? Lose weight. Get organized. That's a good one. Get fit and get healthy. Save more, spend less. You may have made some of those last night. You may have made them in the past. Chances are you did make them in the past because you know only 8% of people follow through with their resolutions every year. Guilty. But you know what? If there was one resolution I could make and really keep, if there's one resolution we could all make and help each other keep, it would be this one: to really, really follow the light of Jesus wherever it goes this year. No matter what it means to us, no matter what it means we might have to change in our lives, and we'll have to. We have to. You know, to follow that light wherever it goes, it means getting by some of our fears. You know, the fear of holding on to our own pitiful little power and our own privilege, you know, our position in our family and our relationships. To follow Jesus wherever he goes, it might mean putting other people first. Ow! But that's what it means. It might mean looking a little weird to people. If we confess, you know, as we did last night or last week, when we had our reaffirmation of baptism, when we had the beautiful baptism of little Harley Grace, we all confessed our belief that Jesus, that God really came into the world in Jesus, that he really walked among us, that he died and that he was buried and that he rose again. Tell people you really believe that. You might be looked at as a little weird, but you know what? That's part of the deal. That's part of the deal of following Jesus wherever he goes, following that light. Oh, following that light wherever it goes. It also means getting over the fear of giving up our own authority over ourselves in some ways, you know, of saying, I want to do things by my rules and I want to do things my way instead of doing things God's way. You know, dedicating really our minds, dedicating our mouths, our thoughts, our actions, our relationships, our bodies, our families, giving it all to Christ, giving it all to God, dedicating it every morning, our entire selves. That's part of following that light wherever it goes. It means taking some hits, you know, to things that we might really want to hold on to. and that we might be holding on to out of fear. But listen, it's worth it, because only down that road do we find God's wisdom. Only down that road do we really have a new life, and we can really find significant change in our lives. Oh, it's so true. You know it's true. We're going to sing that song, The First Noel, in a little bit. In that song, it's so cool because the Magi are pictured as seeing that star and deciding and making a determination, making a resolution to follow it wherever it goes. Wherever it goes. And where it goes is across a dangerous desert. Where it goes is into Jerusalem, into the lair of this disgusting and ruthless king, full of fear. But it goes right by all that stuff. It blows by all that stuff and goes right to the stable where Jesus is, where they bend their knee to Jesus and they receive his wisdom. And you know what? That's when I think they become the wise men. We call them the wise men. It's not because of anything they brought, I think. It's because of what they took away, because they followed that light wherever it went. We can do that. We can be wise men and women. We can be wise men and women as we too make that resolution of the Magi. Get by our fears. Get on that wave. Follow that light of Jesus wherever it leads us, wherever it goes. And latch on to his wisdom and a new way of living. Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, we are just so grateful for Christmas and for all that it has brought, and the wonder and the magic that it regenerates in us each year. It just kind of pumps us up and makes us willing to look with wonder at what is ahead. God, I just ask that you help us every evening to say this is New Year's Eve. Every evening, this is New Year's Eve. To look back at what we have accomplished and what you have brought us and our blessings and the things that we have done that maybe we wish we could do better. And that every morning then, Lord, is New Year's Day. As we begin to follow you wherever you lead us in this coming year. We praise you and we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.